You could kickstart a slash fic Bible.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're going to take a look at the newest installment in the DCEU, Shazam. And of course, we're going to spoil the shit out of it, so beware.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Hi.
And we are here this week to talk about Captain Marvel. No, wait. We already talked about Captain Marvel.
Well, kind of.
We're talking about Captain Marvel, though.
But we're talking about Shazam.
Right. Captain Marvel.
But not Captain Marvel. But not as but legally not distinct.
This one's made by Marvel.
No.
This one's made by DC.
Right.
This one has Marvel.
No.
It's super confusing. I should warn you before we talk about the movie Shazam. That is the name
Shazam.
Of the movie. Shazam! We're going to spoil the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Just spoilers all over the fucking place. So if you don't want to get your body covered in spoilers, gross.
Yeah.
Then you shouldn't listen to this podcast
start
now.
Right now.
Go watch Shazam.
Shazam is a kid and then he gets big.
Okay, watch Shazam and then come back.
Billy Batson is a kid.
Batson is a kid.
Who merges with the wizard whose name is Shazam.
Yeah, he's imbued with the powers of the wizard, Shazam.
Yes. And Shazam stands for the strength of Samson. It's the wisdom of Solomon.
Yeah.
The something of Hercules, bravery of Achilles, the wisdom or the knowledge of Zeus, or the power
it's
of
the
Zeus.
The
second A is Atlas. The
wisdom of Solomon is.
Yeah, as the S.
Yeah.
Wisdom of Solomon. I think it's the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the cunning of Achilles, no, bravery of Achilles. Steadfastness of Atlas or something. It's something about how he's holding up the world.
The wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the stamina of Atlas.
Yeah, Betty.
The power of Zeus.
Yeah.
The courage of Achilles and the speed of Mercury.
Yes. Ew, speed, because he's super fast. Yes.
And because he does a lot of math.
I think it's the stamina of Atlas because he's been holding up the world this
time.
Well,
I mean, that's hard to do.
Yeah, I guess that would take some staying power.
It would take some serious stamina.
Also, this whole time, fucking. Just like fucking.
He's actually holding it up with his erection.
His dick holds up the world. What if his arms hold up? His dick.
So Shazam is a kid's movie. No.
Kind of.
It's a movie with a lot of kids in it.
It's a movie with a lot of kids in it. So Shazam is the latest installment in what we will call the DC Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. DC, is that DCCU?
Yep. I think they use DCEU.
DC.
Of course they fucking do.
Expanded.
Expanded universe?
I guess.
Okay, whatever. All right, I'm going to call it the DC Cinematic Universe because.
DC movies.
Because they can't even get that right.
The DCWBU.
The DCCW.
And my take on it was, I think it's probably my favorite
Of the DC
movies I've seen so far.
It's
definitely, my favorite.
Same. Yeah. My favorite. I liked it much more than Wonder Woman because, as you listeners know, I didn't like Wonder Woman as much as everybody else seemed to.
Well,
it's more consistent.
Yes.
In terms of, like, quality and pacing throughout the movie.
It knows what it wants to be from the start, and it is that thing.
Yeah. I thought Wonder Woman had a good first and second act and fumbled the third act pretty significantly.
Yeah. This had a good villain.
Yep.
It had
Mark Strong. I mean, come on.
Sure, he's a great villain.
It's like,
but you know, it's like
it's perfect because it's a very comic booky thing, you know, and he's a very villainy villain. So it's perfect.
I'm sure he's a super nice guy, but he just plays a really.
I don't know.
You think he's just
he
maybe
a really
he's an
nice
asshole
guy in Kingsman.
Well, I mean,
he played a decent fella.
Yeah. Alan Rickman was a really nice guy, and he played a really good asshole.
That's true.
Yeah, but like a fiddle. He played a good. Played a mean asshole.
The recipient was so pleased.
He sure played a mean asshole.
So, dun 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 dun.
One of the things I really liked about this movie was that the Billy's, I mean, I guess brother, you know, foster brother, but still brother, in the family he's in, is, you know, is disabled, but at the same time, rather than have that like pure of heart spirit that you always see with disabled people in movies where it's like they're just such like perfect angels and they
if only they could walk.
Yeah, and they just struggle against their adversity so beautifully. This kid was like all about being sassy about it, like used it as a joke at times, like leaned into it. He reminded me a lot of Timmy, to be honest, because it was a very very sassy, funny outlook. Like the line where he's like, I know, you look at me and you're like, you're a foster kid who's disabled, you've got everything, you know, like
right.
ah, ha, ha, you know, and kind of like at first pretending like it was really bad and he's really like upset and
he's gonna die of cancer.
Yeah
totally.
It was really funny.
He totally made a cancer joke.
And I liked that they let him, he didn't like, it wasn't like, oh, when he got powers at the end that all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, this is what it's like and I feel like such a regular person now. It they never had that message.
No.
Right.
He was just excited he could fly.
Which
yeah. I'd be excited if I could fly.
Exactly.
What, DC, never really my jam. I mean, I've read a few DC comics, but certainly not Shazam/Captain Marvel.
Right.
Is like the Captain Marvel squad, is that do you know, Nick?
That's a more recent thing. And
okay.
They're fairly representative of who they are in their comics.
Okay.
As far as like kind of how they look and their color scheme
planned.
And all that.
I mean, yeah, it'd be dumb if it wasn't.
I mean, I think this might, the comic stuff might predate some of the movie stuff far enough.
I
where
guess what I mean is the movie did not try to stray from that.
No, they definitely tried to keep on with that. And then the newer cape look, like the newer white cape look for him, is kind of how he looks in the comics these days, post New 52 and all that jazz.
Yeah.
I haven't read a ton of Shazam. In fact, the very first Shazam I ever, or anything with Captain Marvel / Shazam in it that I ever read was Kingdom Come.
Oh yeah.
Where Lex Luthor has brainwashed a young Billy Batson and kind of locked him in the Shazam form and is using him as his like muscle kind of. And I was like, I don't know who the fuck this is, some lightning guy, you know. and so since then I've kind of, you know, more and more, but some of the like Black Adam stuff around like Blackest Night around that time frame, I read some more, and it's different than Superman. People always compare the Big Red Cheese to Superman because they have a similar power set, right?
Is the Big Red Cheese Shazam?
It is.
Oh,
that's his.
Okay.
That's one of his nicknames.
Okay.
That people call him.
Like the Big Blue Boy Scout.
Yep. Sure.
Yeah.
So, because they fly, they're, you know, buff dudes with the same haircut, basically.
Super speed.
Yeah,
super speed.
Yeah.
Right.
But Shazam has lightning.
Right. Well, Superman has the laser
heat vision.
Eyes. Yeah.
Heat vision. So lightning
and
versus X-ray heat
vision and all that shit.
Yeah.
So, but Superman's biggest weakness is magic. And that is entirely in which, upon which Billy Batson's powers are from. So it's kind of a neat thing that.
So Shazam can kick Superman's ass.
They really are. They've fought a couple times.
Well, of course, because
and the outcomes have been varied. Usually, Supes wins, but it's happened.
He's gotten some good knocks in.
Well, the thing in I think the thing in Kingdom Come is he ends up like wrapping his arms around Superman and like saying Shazam over and over
over
and just like shocking him until he's like, you know, unconscious.
Should we say why we keep referring to Shazam as Captain Marvel?
Oh,
yeah.
It's such a long fucking story.
I know, but let's just like very quickly.
The really quick thing is that Shazam was originally Captain Marvel in DC Comics, and then after a long and protracted legal battle, DC was told they couldn't use that name anymore.
Because Marvel had Marvel as its name, its publishing, and Jack Kirby was involved.
If you want to know more, you can look it up online.
That's why. We're not trying to make some joke about the movies.
No,
or,
it ties into even the Miracle Man, Marvel Man stuff, which then ties into the whole Neil Gaiman, Todd McFarlane fight and all the legal battles and why Neil Gaiman won the rights to a bunch of Spawn characters he wrote that he eventually traded to Marvel for the ability to write more Miracle Man, which was then renamed again back to Marvel Man, which it had been in the UK. It is a super interesting story if you're into comics, and it's a long story that we can't cover
the
whole thing. There's a couple really good YouTube videos that'll tell you the whole story.
Yeah, but the point is that Shazam used to be Captain Marvel.
Yes.
So, Marvel just came out with their Captain Marvel movie, and then DC came out with their Captain Marvel movie.
And yes.
2 weeks apart.
What's interesting is there's even like two characters that are Shazam, because there is Shazam, Billy Batson, superhero form, and also Shazam, the wizard, who gives his power to Billy Batson to create him. So Billy Batson turns out to be the pure of heart vessel that's able to take the power. It's always been said, and we see a couple other kids try to get the power.
Yeah.
And we see that people are killed by it a lot. The bad guy Mark Strong plays is wounded by the power.
Because it's all about being tempted by the dark side,
right?
The seven sins.
But doesn't it like take out his eye? Like
that's the seven sins orb that goes into his eye.
Yeah. The orb of all the evil power.
Right.
So I think one of the things that makes this movie more effective than a lot of the DC universe is a willingness to stray a little bit from the grimdark.
Not completely silly, though. There's some really serious stuff.
Well, there's some dark shit in this movie,
but it's not both in terms of color palette and tone. It's much brighter than the rest of the movies,
and that's the thing that's one of the things that I think failed the DCU at times. Is this idea that you're going to do a darker Superman, and so you've got to go with a darker color palette,
right?
Instead of going with a brighter color, because you can do dark without making it look dark. I mean, there were all sorts of things.
That's not Snyder's whole deal.
Yeah, blue Snyder filter they put over everything to make it look like it got washed in mud.
I got into a brief conversation with friend of the show Ron Bauman about, things about my arguments as to what didn't work about the end in Man of Steel versus the ending of Avengers, and how I think they don't do dark well. They do dark for the sake of dark.
Right.
I think something that's also really, really key into Shazam's success is Zachary Levi.
Oh my God,
so good!
Plays Shazam, who plays the grown man, that Billy Batson becomes, and really does a great job of exhibiting childlike wonder and teenage, like over emoting feelings that happen, and also not having it be just like he's just channeling Tom Hanks in Big, right? Like, he's actually, he made it his own, and it was really cool.
There was a really cute little Big.
There was a Big reference. Yeah, I loved that.
The walk-on keyboard pad, the piano pad. Yeah. They, like, the part where their fight spills over into the toy store, he, like, runs across one.
It's like, bah, 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 bah.
Just before he grabs the Batman toy and throws it at Mark Strong, saying, like, get him, Batman. And
I'm Batman.
The Batman toy. Yeah, I'm Batman. It's great.
It was very fun, and it was making fun of DC in general, not just, there was some good bits.
Not at the expense of anything either.
Self-aware,
self-referential.
Self-referential in a fun way.
There's a bunch of that, too. The post-credits scene, which isn't important to the plot at all, with the Aquaman talking to the fish.
Yeah. Talking to the fish.
Like the foster brother kid is obsessed with superheroes, has an Aquaman shirt, has the Time magazine with the Zod fight on the cover and has all that stuff. Like, I really love that these characters exist in a world that they've started to build. It's something that Marvel's been really successful at, and that's like world crafting, something that DC hasn't really done a lot of yet, I think, is using the setting for their other movies rather than just having, you know, movies that kind of stand apart but overlap.
Yeah.
All the kids were good actors, too.
Yeah.
The kids were, I thought this movie was cast exceptionally well. I thought everybody was really solid. I mean, obviously, the two leads were probably the most important to making that work. But you know, the kids were cast really well. And you know, half the time, Billy Batson is Billy Batson.
Yeah. And he's just a kid.
Yeah. He's just a kid.
Just this guy, you know?
And he's a kid with some dark shit.
Yeah. Dealing with problems.
And the parents, like, it was such a believable foster family. It felt very, you know, we were both runaways. We met in foster care. Like, you know, we fell in love and we decided that we had to keep this, you know, going.
Yeah.
And just the way that they talked, there was never any manufactured drama where, like, they didn't get the police involved when their kids were, like, not home on time or things like that. They were just like, they'll come home. We just got to make this place a home. And I felt like that is a message to DC in general. Like, you know, if you want people to come back to the franchise, you just got to make it feel like a home. And a home has humor and heart and love.
You've got to make us care about the characters more than the atmosphere. My conversation with Ron, I was like, okay, well, here's the problem with the ending of Man of Steel. You've got Zod and Superman fighting and just destroying buildings, and people are dying, and nobody cares. I mean, they don't show us any of these people people dying, but we know that has to be happening. And I'm like, if you make it about Superman constantly trying to save these people and he can't fight Zod effectively because he's more focused on how their fight is impacting the humans around them, to the point that when he has to kill Zod, it's literally, there is no other way for me to save these people's lives.
Yeah.
That people are just going to keep dying if I can't do this.
Right.
And it's going to kill me to do it because I don't believe in killing him, because I don't believe that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That would have had an emotional resonance that the ending of Man of Steel lacks.
Yeah.
As opposed to watching the end of the Avengers, where most of the time what they're trying to do is rescue people.
Yeah.
And rectify the shit they broke.
Yeah.
Right.
They're like, we have to fix this problem while also making sure that thousands of people don't die.
Yeah.
Tony Stark's entire character arc, both in individual movies and over the entire series of films, has been accountability and responsibility for the world because of the weapons he's sold and the violence he's put out into the world. Like, his entire character is an acknowledgement of the consequences of that violence.
Right. So what Shazam does is actually gives us something to care about. Now, it's not entirely on the maxi level. I mean, yeah, there are people running around screaming in the carnival at the end, but you've got this foster family that you give a shit about, and these kids that are being put in harm's way by the villain that you want Billy/Shazam to rescue.
And then when even just the little problems that his foster siblings are having.
Right.
Feel like important plot points because they're important to him, because the people are important to him.
Yeah.
So like, it's really good.
I love the little sister and how delighted she was at the moment when it's like, ha ha, you guys figured it out yourself and I never said anything.
I didn't have to tell anybody. It's like her face, and they're like, like, you always tell. And it was like, not this time. You can tell she's like,
I'm a good sister.
That was great.
Yep.
Was there anything that you felt where you felt the movie fell short? Anything you would have liked to see it do better?
In a weird way. I mean, okay. So when the Wizard Shazam is talking about the history of the Shazam force, whatever, the magic, the power.
Yeah.
They don't come out and say it, but they kind of show that like magical recreation of the events where their previous champion they chose turns on all the wizards and kills them all except for Shazam.
Uh-huh.
That's Black Adam. That's 100% Black Adam. That's the guy that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, is born to fucking play, wants to play. He became involved in this movie as like an executive producer. Like, if, and they can't start with Black Adam, and I totally realize and acknowledge that, but also, like, I wish they had just given us something. I wish they'd said a name. I wish we had seen The Rock as that dude instead of just seeing this nebulous cloud figure with the lightning bolt. Like, I just wish that connection was a little bit more concrete, because it would be a nice assurance that we're going to get that character eventually.
All right.
Yeah.
I honestly had so much fun that I can't think of anything I would change without really going back and watching it another time. I was just tickled the whole way through the movie, and it held my attention. It didn't feel like it lagged me. I know some people felt the third act was a little draggy, but I honestly, I didn't feel that way.
Given the third acts in Aquaman and Wonder Woman, both of which I found underwhelming, I actually thought the third act was really solid.
Yeah, I was surprised where it ended.
The superhero human fight between the two was really good.
It was short. It wasn't just some drawn out property damage. Like
two invincible dudes slamming each other through buildings over and over and over.
Watching glass break.
It's so sexy.
What about you, Tim?
The only thing that bugged me a little bit was the superhero suits, the fake musculature.
Oh.
Which looked super fake to me, especially when all of the kids had it.
Ah.
And there was something about it that it's like, I don't know. I wanted it to feel a little more real.
To me, so first of all, I want to point out that those suits were actually lighting up. That wasn't special effects.
No, that part I liked.
Like the bracers, the like whatever on the shins, and then the lightning bolt, the prominent lightning bolt on the chest, all legitimately 100% actually lighting up. I thought that was fucking brilliant. That's touch. Really cool. It looked so magical and super heroic and powerful. I thought their physique was awesome, because more so than Marvel, I tend to associate a like triangle chested superhuman physique with DC, like with Superman,
sure,
like with Shazam. I liked it. I liked the like kind of crazy level of bulgy muscle stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I did.
I liked it.
It pulled me out a little bit.
Yeah,
and that's just it was a minor thing. It was just, and I don't think it really bugged me until all the kids transformed.
Right.
Then there was something about it that just didn't play well for me. But I mean, that's minor, and I agree. I like the practical lighting effect of that lightning on the chest was great.
It looks so good.
Yeah. So I mean, at four, sounds like three thumbs up on Shazam.
I agree with you. Yeah, three of my thumbs are up.
I think something cool is this is like not unlike how Doctor Strange was kind of how we started to get magic into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Uh huh.
This is kind of the first time where we're, I mean, like Wonder Woman, there's something kind of magical going on there a little bit, but it's also kind of, I don't know, Amazon genetics or God stuff or whatever. This was magic in DC, which there's a lot of really cool magic stuff in DC, like Dr. Fate and Zatanna. There's a lot of really good magical villains in DC that I think would be really cool to
Well, there need to be, because it's one of Superman's big weaknesses.
Right, yeah. No doubt.
We got to get you watching Doom Patrol, because there's been some really cool stuff with that.
I know, I got to watch Doom Patrol.
And though it's not, like, attached to the movie universe, I think.
No, there's some good magical nonsense. Yeah.
Sweet.
Another really cool thing that they added in this movie was the Mr. Mind, the caterpillar guy with the voice box.
Yeah,
he's one of the most powerful telepaths in the entire DC universe. Like he's an evil little bastard, and I think it's a big risk to have something so fucking silly. Like that makes me glad for more.
Yeah.
It's like seeing, it's like that, it to me, it seems like having, you know, the Spider-Ham in Into the Spider-Verse, right? Where it's like, I'm glad we're going to lean into some of the more silly, you know, things, because comics are fun.
Yeah.
Comic movies should be
fun. And there's all sorts of weird shit in comics.
Yeah.
And
Yep.
And if you lean into some of that weird shit, it makes it more fun. Okay, we're at five questions. Yeah. We put out a big call for some new five questions because we were completely empty.
We got lots.
And thank you very much for that.
But don't send us yours because we said we got lots. Send us yours anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right now we have five questions from Cole Chapin. Says, hey, Godless Geeks, I've already asked you five questions, but here's five more.
Thank you, Cole.
Because you asked for them.
Yeah.
And she has question one. What is a favorite song from your childhood or teen years? A song that's on your favorite playlist and that you almost never skip over and you still know every word to and you sing along loudly no matter who's around you. Mine are We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel and Hot Child in the City by Nick Gilder.
We Didn't Start
the
Fire.
That's what Cole's are. Just, all right. That's not me, Molly. That's Cole answering.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I don't like sing along loudly to a lot of things, but I mean the one thing that I just remember and that's always kind of one of my go-to songs is Losing My Religion by R.E.M.
That's a good one.
And that, I mean, that's a song that I will sing along to
that's
almost.
From your childhood and teen years?
It's more from my college years.
I was going to say, I was a teenager when that song came out.
It's more from college, but
do you have
still.
From before that?
Well, I mean, I was a kid in the 80s. There were so many goddamn 80s songs that I will sing along to. Yeah. It's like trying to pick one that was like really meaningful to me.
Not meaningful. Just something that she didn't say anything about meaningful.
I don't know. You know, Video Killed the Radio Star.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll sing along to that
that's
anytime.
Nick, do you have an answer?
Dare to Be Stupid.
Oh, yeah.
It's Weird Al in 3D, which came out. One of, like, my very first tape was Weird Al, even worse. And so I was a fan as a kid. I love Devo. I did as a kid, too. And Dare to Be Stupid is Weird Al doing a stylistic parody of Devo where... in an interview, like a Weird Al behind the music or something on VH1, they interviewed Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo, and he said they asked him about that song, and he said he was it made him kind of mad because Weird Al managed to out Devo.
Yeah, that song is so Devo that I thought it was by Devo until I was an adult because my dad told me it was, and he thought that was funny. So much so that I requested it from the current once and said I wanted to hear Dare to Be Stupid by Devo, and the DJ wrote back and was like, did you mean the Weird Al song? And I wrote my dad and was like, what the fuck? And he's
like, your parents just lied to you all over the place.
My dad did it because he's funny. My mom.
Your mom. The movie is in the, it's on the... 1980s Transformers movies.
By the way, I'm going to revise slightly, thinking back to my childhood, pretty much anything by ABBA.
Nice.
Just anything by ABBA.
Mine is Freedom 90 by George Michael.
Oh, yeah.
So I was 12 when that song came out, and I was like really into supermodels because supermodels were a thing then.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I knew all about Linda Evangelista and Cindy Crawford, and they're all in this video. And the video, like, if that song comes on, I can't not dance. Like, I have to dance. I have to dance. I have to sing. There's just something about, like, just singing all of the awesome, like, George Michael lyrics that now you look back and you're like, how did anybody not figure out he was gay? Like, I don't understand. Like, he's so careful to avoid gender in his songs. And if he is gender, it's about, like, I'll be your man. Like, ridiculousness. All right.
Question two.
My 15-year-old wants to go to church, but I'm not comfortable with her going alone, and I'm sure as hell not going with her. We don't have any church-going family or friends nearby. Do you have any suggestions on how we can handle this situation?
I mean, this is the hardest thing I'm ever going to say. You should go with her.
Go with her once.
How old?
Yeah.
15.
Here's the thing about teenagers. If you forbid them from going to church, they're going to rebel against you by, like, diving headlong into religion.
Well, and I think any responsible atheist wants their kid to be exposed to religion and make their own choice, right?
Right.
Like, so, I think you're just going to have to bite the bullet, Cole, and go with her at least once.
I mean, it's not like forever. Not like if she wants to go for 6 months, but I'd go once. Or Universal. Universalist Church.
Unitarian. Unitarian Universalists.
We are spoiled with Unitarian churches.
Well, and in the South, they are predominantly Christian kind of, but not, you know, bad or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, go with so you can give context to everything.
I think it's better because then you see what they saw.
Yeah.
And you can talk about it.
And you know if this is a hell and fire and brimstone church, and if it is, you're going to be like, listen, you can go to church, but not that one.
Yeah.
You know, like, right. And have a talk about why. All right, question three. You can have any superpower you want, but it comes with a really annoying side effect, like your palms get sweaty for an hour after you teleport. What is the super annoying and useless side effect that would accompany your superpower?
Well, the obvious superpower is teleportation. It's the best.
Of course.
My really annoying side effect is that no matter where you teleport, you arrive 3 feet above the ground.
Oh. So you've got to, like, fall.
So you got to fall 3 feet every time?
Yeah. All right.
Because that would just... that would be like this minor anxiety every time I teleported.
3 feet's a good fall, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just, it's not nothing.
Yeah,
that's what
right.
I mean.
You got to brace yourself big time. Yeah.
Okay.
I've always really liked, like, especially with speedster power sets, the explanation that their metabolism is super ramped up. So the side effect of them using their power is they need to consume like massive amounts of food just to like fuel themselves, or like Goku and Dragon Ball, kind of the same thing. Saiyans have like a legendary hunger. I like that side effect because even though it's kind of annoying and you'd be hungry all the time, you'd get to eat all that food and like it wouldn't be, you know, bad.
So I'm gonna pick the ability to read minds, knowing that you can turn. Let's say you can turn it on and off, right?
Sure.
But the useless side effect would be you can't turn it off for your cat.
Oh God, that's not a minor.
So that's just anytime you're home and the cat's around, you have to constantly hear your cat's thoughts.
That's not a minor inconvenience. That's a fucking nightmare.
You don't have to have a cat.
Okay.
But like when you're at a, anytime you're at a cat, anytime there's a cat, that's you're hearing the cat.
Feed me.
All right, question four. This will be an easy one, I think. Would you avoid purchasing a product because the packaging has Bible verses on it?
If I noticed them, yeah.
Have done, continue to do so.
We don't buy the Ezekiel bread or the
Dr. Whatever's
soap.
Peppermint soap.
There's a bread that has it. Forever 21. I used to shop at Forever 21. Shut up. I know I'm 40. But I used to shop there sometimes, and I stopped because I noticed they print Bible verses on their bags.
Forever 21 times 2.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is...
Almost.
It's so fucking pretentious anyway. That's
why it bothers me.
That's actually why it bugs me more than the religious bit.
It's not like... Because people have asked me, like, well, you're probably unconsciously supporting religious businesses all the time. You just don't realize it. It's like, cool. Then I don't realize it, and Whedon can just pretend it's not happening.
Well,
Over yourself. You're being smug and self-satisfied. Look at how religious
feels
we
like
are.
It's something the Bible would caution against.
Yeah.
It's the over... I'm not going to support anyone who is an overt... who's overt with their religiosity.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the problem is. Like, sure, I might be unknowingly supporting a lot of religious stuff, but I'm not supporting people that are, like, shoving it up in my face.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Question five. This question might be aimed more at Tim. Sorry, Glovers,
boo.
But you can feel free to throw in your opinions, too. I believe we will put in our
That
opinions.
Was a boo for Tim, not
All
for
right.
the question. I just want
to
clarify.
My family's going to Disney World at the end of June. What is one thing we should definitely make sure we see or do? What is one thing
I know.
We should definitely make sure we see
this is
or
the
do?
Worst question ever.
I'm assuming it's their first time at Disney World. It's not. Let's just assume that they've never been there.
World, not land, right?
Disney World, so the one in Florida.
My answer is Happily Ever After at Magic Kingdom.
What
is
that?
It is the fireworks show at the end of the day. It is the best fireworks show I have ever seen, and you can't miss it.
What's
you
the best
shouldn't
place
miss
to see it?
It. Right in front of the castle.
Right
in front of
the
but you got to get there like an hour early because it is so good that it doesn't matter how crowded the park is. It will just be packed in front of that castle.
Yeah. All right.
But right in front of the castle, Happily Ever After.
Yep. Mine, I would say, is the Spaceship Earth at Epcot because...
Boy.
I'm telling you why. Because it used to be a marvel of animatronics. There was a time when all that stuff in there was like a huge big deal, and I think it's a super fun ride. It's silly and corny.
My kids still love it.
I love it. I think it really encapsulates a lot of what the Disney park is about. It's got the technology that they pioneered. It's got the cheesy, like, look to the future and we'll all have a positive world, you know, kind of idea, which was what Disney thought.
Phoenicians.
However terrible it was. Yeah. It's a history of language and the written word. It's sponsored by a telephone company, which makes it extra funny. It's into the future stuff is so dated that it's just great. I love it.
All my favorite stuff is like a particular ride.
So say one.
That's fine.
Yeah, what's your favorite one?
I think the Tower of Terror. Really,
oh, it's so awesome.
Is because it's a fun ride. The whole way through and the whole way up is really, really fun.
There's some mind-blowing moments.
The tricks that they do with light and with the elevator moving are really, really cool.
Yeah.
Like the way the crack of light opens up and you go into the darkness is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Every time we rode it, and we rode it several times last time we were in Disney World.
We did.
Every time I was like, I'm going to look really close and I'm going to see the edge of this, or I'm going to look really close and I'm going to see how this moves. Yeah. And like, you kind of can't see. It's really well done.
The Tower of Terror is like a perfect example of how Disney upgrades a ride experience because it's just a vertical drop ride.
Yep.
I mean, that's all it is.
Yep.
It's a ride that goes up and down. And
thousands of them.
I don't like vertical drop rides. I think they're boring, but I will go on Tower of Terror over and over and over again.
Because during the night and the day. Because it's a different experience at night and in the daytime.
You know what's really cool about Tower of Terror right now? When you get up to the top, And they open the thing so you can see outside. You can see Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, cool. Yeah, right on.
That like,
sure, that makes
sense. You know, for just like 2 seconds, I'm like, Pat, look, it's a Galaxy's Edge.
That's awesome.
Hey, do you think they're going to update it with the Jordan Peele Twilight Zone
I hope
stuff?
Not. Yeah. I hope not. I hope they leave it just the way it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe add it as a scene, but not change anything else. Maybe just addition to and not replacing.
All right.
Cole says, thank you for having an awesome podcast that I will continue to support because she is a patron.
Thank you, Cole.
Awesome. Cole, you're awesome. Thank you so much.
And thank you to all our other patrons. We really appreciate it.
Always.
Yeah, you can support us on Patreon. That will help us out. That helps us pay for stuff like the equipment we're using right now. $2 a month, you get these episodes early. There are people who have heard our take on Shazam already.
It's true.
That could be you.
It could be you right now, and you're like, yeah, that's now.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, that's me already.
Yeah.
Like
you're
Cole.
So smart.
Don't tell me what I'm listening to.
Yeah. So I hope you enjoy Shazam. I am looking forward to, I guess, a sequel in the DC universe.
I think we'll see.
I'm looking forward to the sequel to Wonder Woman and Aquaman a little bit too, because they have their moments. But Shazam, I'm actually anxiously awaiting the sequel. So we will be back next week with another episode. Bye.
Bye.
Say my name.
Tim.
My other name.
Timothy.
God.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
All right, cool.